Unfortunately, fortunately, none of them apparently life-threatening. This morning, a manhunt underway now for this man, 62-year-old Frank James, who police are calling only a person of interest. He rented this U-Haul van in Philadelphia. Police say a key to that very van was found among the belongings the shooter left behind. CNN's Jason Carroll is live on the scene in Brooklyn. Jason, it has been a chaotic 20 hours or so. Tell us what the latest is.
Police are still actively looking for that man, as you say, identified as a person of interest, Frank James, 62 years old. Investigators say that some of the items found here at the scene are connected to James, including those keys to that U-Haul rental van. That U-Haul van rented in the Philadelphia. James has links to addresses in both Philadelphia and Wisconsin. Just a quick recap, though, of some more details of what happened out here yesterday. Police say it was during the morning rush hour, that the shooter boarded an N train bound for Manhattan. The shooter wearing an orange and green construction vest, a gray hoodie, and a neon green construction hat. He sat near the second car in the rear of that car and opened fire.
Shooter fired a gun 33 times, hitting 10 people.
There's no ongoing threat in the terrorism, so what does that all tell you about the status of this investigation? I will admit, I thought that press conference was slightly confusing yesterday, but let me tell you what the NYPD is doing. So it may be that there's a disconnect between some of the evidence that they have in particular pictures and what James looks like. So they're not 100% sure that James is the person. He may just be a friend or helping out whoever the shooter was. The second reason why they did that is there's no benefit to them to calling James a suspect now. Because if it turns out that there's someone else, right, think about what this would mean in court. The defense attorney would say, well, they were after the James guy and now they're after my guy. They don't know what they're doing. So they're being very careful with their language right now until they put a case together and then come out to the public or in fact find James and say, this is our guy. The pictures align with what we know about James. The fact that they're already searching the social media and have concerns about some of the threats and some of the ramblings, as you said, suggests that they're pretty focused on James at this stage and finding him. What's remarkable is that he got away. That it can't find him. So that's my next question. How do you think he was able to escape? I mean, is there something here about subway security that we need to zero in on?
I think that's right. I mean, in the midst of it, you don't really know, and there's going to be what we call after-action reports to determine.
There's all kinds of cameras on those things. I'm surprised they haven't shown a video of him yet.
I will say I'm very familiar with training and exercises for mass transit. They are inherently
mobile.
You need these systems to run.
or analyze it. Maybe we'll give it to the public data. And they're not really getting into this guy's beliefs or his thoughts or why he did this. I heard he was racist against white people and Jews. And some of those people who are actually don't like black people either. And they call themselves black Hebrew Israelites. I don't have enough information to determine if this guy's one of them yet. But there's not many black people that are racist against white people and Jews.
Is the extent to which the subway system was able to essentially pivot around this disaster and get back up and running. That is a sign of a society that can rebound, that can take these unfortunate hits, and whether it's a big thing or what we don't know now, but the NYPD is very clear about, is the motivation of why someone would do this. NYPD is clear that they're not investigating this terrorism. The CEO of the MTA,
that they might extend the mask mandates that were supposed to end next week for the federal government stuff. And I hope they don't, because I think we've done that long enough. Everything from like train stations, Greyhound bus stations, government buildings, anything the federal government has control over, they can decide. Post offices.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, Jeremy's
I wouldn't be the end of the world. I don't go to those places that often.
Plus, Boris Johnson under fire again amid the Partygate scandal arrived before it had. And one of the most recognizable voices.
Are you okay?
It's your brother for any time.
And it's just A, D, C. I used to just play rhythm guitar. My friend Wally used the shredder. So I just picked up a guitar to play rhythm, and I got this particular one because of the configuration of the humbuckers. And my philosophy was I'll just get pedals if I want to dial in other sounds besides the great mid-range ones. Pick selector does a lot of it. I'm just trying not to get too loud of it. That's better than that. Yeah, so I used to always do the rhythm. I think I was actually teaching students maybe just before I really got down into it and started playing a lot of rhythm. I mean, a lot of lead, rather. Lead guitar. I wrote a book on how to improvise and play lead. So I had to learn it inside and out. Like, I had to, but I did it anyway. I knew it anyway. I just had to kind of put words to it. Like a theater guitarist, a lot of times you're self-taught. And just to figure out what I was doing, basically. I had a few months of lessons, and then I stopped. And then I taught myself for years, and then taught lessons for years. So yeah, the lead is fun. It's, I don't know. I wrote a book on how to do it objectively to get it perfect 100% of the time by number of fret numbers, but still I usually just do it by ear and by thought and feel, unless I bust out my book and do it and actually physically look at the chart and do it. I think the worst case scenario, if I happen to hit a note that's in the wrong key, I'll just borrow it from another key and just continue. It's not like a big deal. But if I was recording or doing some, like I said,
the president says that his offer to visit Ukraine has been
rejected. Selling albums.
Speaking to reporters on Tuesday, Frank Walter Steinmeier said he proposed making the trip with Baltic leaders to send a strong signal of common European solidarity with Ukraine, but it was not wanted in Kyiv. CNN's Nick Robertson, why Boris in Brussels, Belgium, that is a strong message being sent in response, Nick. Tell us what it is.
You didn't like the helmets?
Yeah, it's a very really strong message being sent to the president of a country that, for example, has been the first nation in the recent days to take, fly out wounded civilians from Ukraine to Germany for treatment over the past month. There's been treating Ukrainian soldiers in German healthcare facilities. So it is a little surprising. He would have travelled today, Steinmeier would have travelled today with the presidents of Poland and Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia to Kyiv. Steinmeier is a former foreign minister in Germany, and there's a perception that while he was foreign minister, he sort of improved Germany's ties to Russia. We know at the very sort of outset, in the beginning of the war, there was a huge amount of pressure and really dissatisfaction in Kyiv with the response of the German government, that it didn't want to give the military support that other nations like the United States, other European nations were giving, that they would only send the military support of helmets. That position has changed, and indeed recently Germany essentially signed on tanks, T-72 tanks, to go to Ukraine, because originally these were tanks that were used in what was then the
so much, Nick Robertson, live for us in Brussels, Belgium. Coming up, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is facing calls to resign after being fined in the Partygate scandal. How he's responding next.
Oh, God, these people talking gasoline. I don't think I can listen to them talk about gasoline. Jesus. This, you know, this is what I want to hear these people say about gasoline. I want them to say, gasoline's terrible, terrible thing to burn. I hate burning it. It stinks. We should stop, all stop. We should all reduce the amount of gas we burn. But it sucks having to pay for more money for the little bit of gas we're going to use. And we need to develop cars that don't require gasoline anymore, so we can power by the sun and get it for free. Every one of these buzzwords should be saying exactly that, and renditions of that. And if they're not, and maybe they're not because every city, state, and the union gets gas taxes and makes a lot of money off of people buying gasoline per gallon. So it adds up. And if they were to take this money source away from them, they wouldn't get any of their stuff done that they want to do. The Democrats and the rest. But like big government and high taxes and they would afford a lot of social programs and whatever. So they're going to see cuts or whatever. It just doesn't make any sense to champion this little disgusting form of energy that's killing everything. We haven't even got into that aspect. And there's a moral dilemma with burning fossil fuels. Now, future generations are probably going to look at us like we're horrible people. And they can't walk outside without a mask on. And they can't enjoy like a lot of the animals that used to be alive, a lot of foods that used to be affordable and grown year round. Stuff like that, just screwing up the earth for them. Probably pissed. Apparently there's only 47 more years of gasoline even left on the earth anyway. If they reduce every drop of it. So it's not like they have much of a choice anyway.
State lawmaker who supports this, and she said people are looking for a healthier work-life balance. They want to feel less stressed. They want to eat ice cream for breakfast every day. That doesn't mean that you can.
I can.
Brian, thank you for joining us this morning.
Give me some vegan ice cream that's so good. Vegan vegetarian ice cream.
All right, people are furious over this tweet from the New York City Mayor's office. It's video of a subway car with the message, greatest city in the world. It was posted hours after the subway attack.
I want to read the room on that one there. So something soon, Elon Musk is concerned that there's a mega buy of Twitter stock.
Thank you.
82 degrees.
14 degrees above what is typical for this time of year. Back behind this front, it is so cold. That's what's setting the
Bozeman, Montana, Rapid City, Minneapolis, all that stuff in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Barely 50. And then the East, New York, Richmond, 82, New York, 77. That was extreme northern latitudes. Sometimes get cold. Weather that comes down from Canada.
Still ahead, President Biden makes his sharpest comments yet about the war in Ukraine. As leather, boots, and the peace talks. And real life Ukraine for the latest on the possible use of chemical weapons by Russian forces in Mariupol. All that
it's way too early if you don't have to back that up. Across the board.
Station. It was posted just 13 hours after the attack.
Fox News contributor Joe Condra joins us now.
shelter in the tweets in response to this. One user writing, "Not likely it's not." Another says, "It used to be, not anymore. We need stronger police." And the one, the most simple, but I think the most effective, "Read the room." In light of the fact that a mass casualty incident took place just hours prior on said subway. So what is a tone-deaf tweet like that do when it comes to the confidence of people in their mayor to respond to a crisis?
That's the thing, right? The timing on this, Todd, is obviously fantastically atrocious. Please don't let the interns run the social media of the office of the biggest city in America for the mayor's office there. And look, we need a surge of law enforcement in terms of undercover police officers, uniformed police officers, cameras in subways, deployed to the subways down there. Crime has skyrocketed there, particularly, and more than a few blocks. They have no choice. It's not like they can't go to the subway, but they have to take the subway to get to work every day. I used to live in a city, I know. The buses are not even great of an option. Some people like to go on their own, they like it or not, and they're scared right now, obviously. Not just because of what happened yesterday, which was horrific, but every day we can see stories of people being pushed over the tracks, stabbed from behind, attacked for no reason. So that's where we are at this point. That the mayor, Eric Adams, I keep hearing, boy, he's really trying. Yeah, I'm past that stage at this point. He must do better with action at this point,
guys. When it comes to the tweet, the only explanation that I can think of is maybe it was a pre-scheduled tweet. Sometimes that happens, but...
New Yorkers always hate their mayors.
If you go back like the last,
at least three, four mayors, there's like a love-hate relationship with them. They all just, they say they kind of hate them, but they get along. De Blasio and Giuliani and Bloomberg.
Didn't fit a narrative, perhaps, that, let's put it this way, if it was a white guy wearing a red hat instead of a black hat, I can guarantee you this would be 24/7 news right now, as far as the attackers. I mean, we saw with Waukesha, Wisconsin as well, right, when an African-American man who was out on bail, $1,000 bail, after trying to run over the mother of his own child, he then went to that Christmas parade and ran over grandmothers and children, and killing, I believe, six or seven people there. And then you didn't hear much about the suspect anymore, or race. And look, race, in terms of, since we have someone that we're trying to catch here, does matter, right? Because you're trying to find somebody in the description does matter in these situations. But unfortunately, our media, because it is a black man in this case, isn't pushing that side as much as it would be if we were, say, a white guy again, particularly for the wearing a red hat.
I got flagged on Facebook for talking about it. I wrote a story about it.
Can we even look into that?
They weren't even letting people talk about it.
For Twitter to take that off, that to me was a huge red flag. It's crazy. It was crazy.
It wasn't resolved.
It just wasn't resolved. I'm Mark Johnny Reagan on the latest episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, the HBO host.
folks also speculated that
such overreach by Facebook
to the leveling theory came from the thought of it being racist.
They've suspended my account on Facebook like 4 or 5 times. So stupid reasons. This was advocated for that long. If at all, it was like a 12-hour one or a short one or nothing. But they flagged the link and they wouldn't let me post the link to the news article about the Wuhan lab. And this was pretty recently, too. This was after it became more mainstream. Because I was like, look, see, it's an actual theory. Because I had written a story about it like a year before. And they didn't, you know, they didn't flag my actual story that I wrote about it or anything. Because it's not considered a news story. But I was shocked that they flagged that. I think it was becoming more mainstream. Because I don't jump into the first fringe theories I hear. I like to think about them, see if there's a motive, see if they pan out. And that one I had listened to long enough to say it sounded fairly credible. Possible, probably.
This video shared on social media shows what appear to be explosions
from
cluster munitions in a civilian park in the Kharkiv region. We play that video for you. 4 blasts, seconds apart, spanning an area of about 90 yards. Do we have a video for this? Another explosive falls onto the street moments later and then explodes. A UN human rights official says use of cluster munitions in public areas may.